The California State Supreme Court has just issued its ruling on the legality of Proposition 8. That was the ballot initiative that outlawed gay marriage in the Golden State. And we are joined now by Jane Schachter, the William Nelson Cromwell Professor of Law at Stanford University. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
What were the plaintiffs in the case specifically challenging about Proposition 8?
Well, they were trying to invalidate Proposition 8 in its entirety and get it thrown out on the theory that it was too drastic an amendment to the state constitution for the voters to do without any legislative involvement, and they lost on that claim.
So that was the big claim.
That was the big claim. The claim, in essence, was that it was an unconstitutional constitutional amendment, as paradoxical as that might sound. And the state constitution does provide that if the fundamental structure of government is revised by something the voters do, that is beyond their power. And basically what the court said is this is a more modest amendment within the power of the voters to accomplish.
Well, but the opponents also saw this, claimed this was a civil rights issue, didn't they?
They did. They did. And they said once, and the reason they said this was too drastic a step for the voters to take was that once the state Supreme Court granted fundamental rights to a group like same-sex couples, the voters could not take that away, and that's what made it a civil rights issue. And in essence, what the court said is that the way the California Constitution is written, it is, in fact, much easier to amend than, for example, the federal Constitution, which has only been amended 27 times in history versus over 500 times for the California state Constitution. And if the citizens of California want a better entrenched civil rights protections, then they need to revisit the way the Constitution is amended. Interestingly, in the other states that have legalized same-sex marriage, Massachusetts, Vermont, Connecticut, it's much more difficult to get the Constitution amended. This is a fact of life in California, and it does set up this oddity where, on the one hand, the state Supreme Court decides this far-reaching civil rights decision a year ago, and on the other hand, it's up to the voters whether to keep it or not.
Well, most legal experts had expected the justices to uphold the legality of Prop 8, so I guess this decision doesn't come as much of a surprise, but it's kind of a mixed decision, isn't it? Because
Very much a split verdict.
Because the 18,000 gay couples who were married before Prop 8 was passed have legal marriages, but nobody can have one after that?
That's right. We've got a very strange situation now in California, unprecedented as far as I know. For a long time, there, with respect to interracial marriage, there was a patchwork between the states before the United States Supreme Court said there's a constitutional right to marry, notwithstanding the partner's race. And now we're beginning to see that same kind of patchwork around the country with respect to same-sex marriage. But what's really odd in California is we're going to have a patchwork within the state. 18,000 couples are going to be married, and other same-sex couples can't be. But I think that actually leads into another important point. In California, unlike many states around the country, same-sex couples can still, and the Supreme Court emphasized this in its opinion, can still get all the substantive rights and protections of marriage as domestic partners. They cannot be called married, and that's not a small difference. I mean, I think that's of some great symbolic consequence. But it remains the case, for example, in California and not in New York, that there is comprehensive protection for same-sex couples. So that's another way in which I think this was a split verdict. Mm. There will be no more same-sex marriage for the moment in California, but couples can still have protections as domestic partners. 18,000 couples will still stay married. And I think the other thing that's important is in the decision a year ago, the California Supreme Court became the very first high court in the country to say that any time the state disadvantages people based on sexual orientation, they're going to apply the strictest legal standard to that called strict scrutiny and make it very difficult for the state to do that. And that ruling stands with respect to everything except for marriage.
Well, I looking over the court's record, I see it as kind of confusing. They ruled that San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom overstepped his bounds when he started issuing marriage licenses to gay couples in 2004. And then May last year, the court legalized same-sex marriage, which was, of course, overturned by voters with Prop 8. Shouldn't we expect a bit more consistency from one court?
Yeah, there's no question the court's been all over the place on this. I think essentially what they've said is this is all about who gets to decide these questions. So they were uncomfortable with a mayor doing it on his own. And then when they looked at the issue, they said, well, now that we are doing a thorough constitutional review, we think there is a right under the state constitution for people to marry, and now they've let the voters undo it. So there's no question there's a lot of oddities and inconsistencies here. But basically, I think where everything falls is the California Supreme Court says the ball's in the court of proponents of same-sex marriage, and I think the next move for proponents of same-sex marriage is to go back to the voters through the initiative process.
They can't go to the Supreme Court?
They won't go to the U.S. Supreme Court because this is strictly a question of California constitutional law. In fact, proponents of same-sex marriage around the country have generally tried to keep the U.S. Supreme Court out of this because they don't think that's a favorable place for them to be. So they've not been making claims under the federal constitution. They've been going state by state in states where they thought the state constitution would be favorable to them, and that's where the victories have come.
Have you heard about whether opponents of same-sex marriage are going to try to invalidate the 18,000 marriages that are in place?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they try, but I don't think they've got a leg to stand on after this opinion. I mean, California law is pretty clear that if the voters pass an initiative and it's going to have retroactive effect, it's got to be very clear in stating that. And there was not a hint of retroactivity in what the voters did in November. And it would be very chaotic to try to undo marriages. And the court is, I think, very clear that they're not going there.
Has polling indicated changes in attitude since last November?
You know, the polls are a little bit inconsistent themselves, but I've seen polls where a slight majority now favor same-sex marriage, and that's happening on the national level. The polling is moving very quickly, and I think this is really only a matter of time. Whether this gets undone in California in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, I think there's no question it will get undone at the ballot box. And I say that based not only on changing polling information, but the fact that there's very, very strong support, not only in California, but around the country among younger voters for same-sex marriage. So I think this is just a matter of time. And that's why I think you're beginning to see around the country, you know, greater support, more legislatures moving on it.
And Jane,
you know,
to leave it there, Jane. I'm sorry. Jane Schachter is the William Nelson Cromwell Professor of Law at Stanford University. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.